number of years ago, on a Saturday night in the Belfast Telegraph, there was a little section that was there every Saturday night, and it was under the title of They Said. And the purpose of this presentation was to highlight possibly some significant things and some insignificant things that were said in the course of the week. It may have been something that was said by a politician or a churchman. It may have been a sports personality, a financier, or just somebody who had something to say that possibly focused in on the news for that particular week that had passed. Sometimes it was just a wee little saying that maybe wasn't of all that much significance, like, for example, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step, or the only way to have a friend is to be a friend, or, of course, I talk to myself, I do need at times some expert advice. And as we look at the Bible, we discover that God has spoken to us. He has said things to us. And he said things to people in the past. For example, he spoke to Moses at the burning bush. He spoke to Isaiah in the temple. He spoke to Pharaoh, the monarch of Egypt, through the plagues that he sent at that particular time when Moses was going to release the people from bondage. He spoke to the fishermen through Jesus calling them to be his disciples. He spoke to Saul of Tarsus in the Damascus Road. He spoke to Felix, the Roman governor, through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And he spoke to John, who was banished to the island of Patmos and gave to him the revelation of Jesus Christ. And just as God spoke to people in days gone past, so God speaks to us today. The question I want to ask and answer for a few moments this morning is simply the question, how does God speak to us today? And the first way that I would suggest that God speaks to us is he speaks to us through creation. In the book of Psalms, in Psalm 19 and verse 1, we read that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth forth his handiwork. Also in Romans 1 and 20, we read that God's invisible attributes, in other words, the fact that God is invisible, his eternal power and divine nature, the fact that we can't see him, has been clearly seen ever since the creation of the world in the things that he has made. The New Testament is confirming the fact that God made the heavens and the earth. And the Christian doctrine of creation is the doctrine that God called into being that which previously did not exist. For example, if some of the ladies, or possibly some of the men, decided to bake, and I asked them to bake a Christmas cake, and said to them, now do it without any ingredients, you would look at me and you would say that I'd totally lost my marbles. What do? You need the various ingredients that you need, and you need to mix them together, you need to put them into an oven, and they come out. But you have got, if you want to call it, pre-existent material in order to produce the Christmas cake. But the power of God is such that he called into being that which, in the first place, never existed, like baking a cake without any ingredients. The story is told about a Christian who was being shown round the sights of Moscow with a team that had gone to Moscow, to Russia, to look round. And there was a local tour guide, and he was an atheist. And after they'd been together for a few days, the atheist said to one of the members of the team who he recognized was a Christian, and he said this, "I cannot understand how an intelligent person like you believes in a God." For a moment, the Christian said absolutely nothing. And then suddenly he turned and he grabbed the atheist by the wrist. And he said, "Do you see your watch? Do you see the mechanisms of that watch? According to your theory and your logic, that watch could have fallen into place just by itself. And look at your hand, which is far more complex even than a watch. What you're saying is that your hand, and not only your hand, but your whole body could exist without it being, as it were, created. And then he said, now, I understand that you're a clever person as well, but I cannot understand how someone so intelligent as you can accept that your watch had to be made, and your hand has been made, and your whole body, and the whole world, but that you cannot understand and accept that there must have been a creator behind it. And what's the difference, just to finish the illustration, what's the difference between the creator or the person who makes the watch and God? The person who makes the watch, after they made that watch, they gave it to whoever it goes to, and it went into a shop and it was bought. And I bought it. And the person who made that watch knows nothing about it, doesn't know where it is now, maybe even doesn't remember making it. But the God who made the world, who made you and me, is interested in each and every one of us. That God's qualities is seen by the things that he's created. I can shut my eyes. It doesn't mean to say there's nothing in front of me. It simply means that I've shut my eyes to the truth that is there. And so often today, people simply shut their eyes to the truth of the existence of God and God's concern for you. God speaks through creation. Secondly, God speaks through conscience. I'm not going to tell many stories this morning, but I'm going to tell another one just now. The story is told about a university where they were holding a mission. And the president of the Christian Union was taking the evangelist round the students' union prior to the first night of the mission. And as they were going round, there was a girl sitting. And the president of the Christian Union must have known her. And she said to him, "You see that girl there? She will be one of the hardest people to reach with the gospel. If she comes along, she'll probably come along to poke fun at what is said." She did come along. And that night, she went home, and she came back the next night to the meeting. And after the meeting was over, she went up and she spoke to the evangelist, and she said this. She said, "On returning last evening to my home, and all day today, I have done nothing but cry and cry and cry. As I have looked at my life, I have suddenly realized that my life is in a complete mess, and the only person that can do anything for me is Jesus Christ." And just as physical pain can be a good and healthy thing, in that it alerts us to something that is wrong in our bodies, so moral pain coming through our conscience can be a good and a healthy thing, alerting us to the fact that things are not right within us. It might be an attitude of mind. We might be, as it were, through our conscience, it might be we hold a grudge against someone at work or in the family or in the church or wherever we are. Or possibly our conscience disturbs us because of a habit that we're involved in or a relationship that we have. Or that we know that within ourselves that our priorities in life are not right. We know where our priorities should be and they're not there. And there's times that things eat away at us in our lives and they trouble us. And we know that we need to sort these things out, but we do nothing about it. And if that is there, you should thank God for that, because that is God's inner moral alarm system enabling you to realize that things are not right as your conscience troubles you, as you possibly sit in church. I remember when, many years ago, when I was in my late teens, I believed that I was being called to the ministry. And I would go to a meeting every Sunday night, and it was when I went to that meeting on a Sunday night that my conscience troubled me, because I knew that God was calling me and I was saying no. And I forgot about it during the course of the week, but every Sunday night again, when I went back to this meeting, my conscience troubled and troubled and troubled me. And it was God's alarm system speaking to me. Could it be this morning that God speaks to some of us through our conscience? And God can speak to us also through circumstances. It could be the circumstances of an unexpected illness. And that coming, we say, why me? Why has God allowed this to happen to me? After all, I've been living a reasonably good life, and I'm trudging along and doing my work and doing everything that I know that I need to do. And suddenly there's this interruption. And that circumstance can be a time when, many a time, I've gone in to visit someone in a hospital and they've said, you know, this setback has started me to think the circumstances of illness. Or what about the circumstances of death, where someone we've been close to suddenly is taken from us? And we begin to think and we say, if that had been me, where would I be? Or it may be the circumstances of the conversion of a friend, somebody who we've known and who we've respected and who we've been really close to, and they've become a Christian, and we're not. And God speaks to us through the circumstances of their conversion. God speaks through creation. He speaks through conscience. He speaks through circumstances. But primarily, God speaks to us through his word. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, we read these words: long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Through him, he has created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God on high, having become a much superior to the angels, as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Who's Hebrews speaking about? He's speaking, of course, about the Lord Jesus. We in the Presbyterian Church believe, and I'll be referring to this more maybe this evening, we believe that the word of God set forth in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament is the only infallible rule of faith and practice. How do we know what God is like? How do we know that there's a heaven and hell? How do we know answers to many of the spiritual things that I might have an opinion on and you might have an opinion on, but whose opinion is right? The answer to that question is very simple. God speaks to us through his word. And his word is the Bible, and that is our guide. And it's been said of the Bible that the Bible is the world's bestseller. But it's also been said that it's the world's least read bestseller. And why is that? Because the Bible comes to you and me, and it speaks profoundly, and it speaks pertinently, and at times disturbingly to us. in our different moods and in our different relationships. It doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor, young or old, fit or feeble, good or bad, religious or pagan. The Bible has something to say to us, and it has the untimely ability to make us aware of our weakness and sin. But at the same time, it also has the tremendous power to be able to change our lives in a most dramatic way. As God's Spirit comes and speaks to us. And what do we read about God's Spirit and about God Himself? The God who wants to speak to you and me, to quote the Catechism, is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. The Bible teaches me, and it teaches you, what God is like. What God has done, what you are like, and what you can become. And it's timeless in its application and relevance to every generation. And it's not always easy for those who are Christians to promote today what the Bible says. Because secular society today is such that it has turned its back substantially on the Bible. And all that is happening very often in much of the decisions of government are clearly against what the Bible teaches. But yet, at the end of the day, even though it is not considered to be relevant by secular society, it is a way that God wants to speak to you and me. And you particularly have the privilege of being able to understand this fact because you're people who come to church Sunday by Sunday. You're not out there and you're not saying that, well, I hope you're not saying that the Bible is irrelevant, but at least when you're here, you hear can hear God speaking to you. It was an Archbishop of Canterbury in the past said this, that modern European morality is a morality for the wealthy, the powerful, and the well-educated. It is a morality that does not believe in human sinfulness and human failure. And in many ways, this is where the church struggles. Because the church has its own particular viewpoint, which is found in the Word of God, and it's trying to put across this message to a society that doesn't believe in sin or failure. But yet, when we want to hear God speak to us, and I trust we do, the Bible is the clear place where we can hear. Yes, He speaks, as I've said, through creation. He speaks through conscience. He speaks through circumstances. But primarily, He speaks through His Word. And that's why the Apostle Paul could write with such conviction, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is a power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." Tell me this morning, has God spoken to you in the past? Could it be that God is speaking to you today and He's calling you to Himself and He's pointing to the cross, where on that cross that we read of in the Word of God, Jesus died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we at last might go to heaven saved by His precious blood. The question we've got to ask ourselves is the question, have we responded to God when God speaks to us in creation? Through conscience, through circumstances, but Sunday by Sunday, as you've come here on other occasions, as He's spoken to you through His Word. When He speaks, what is your response? And what is your response to Jesus dying on the cross? I was clearing out some things from our loft at home not so very long ago, and I came across, you know, those long playing records that we used to have when I was a teenager. And there was a record by a group, I think they were an English Christian group called the Crossbeats. It was one of the choruses and one of the pieces that they sang. And it asked this question: does it matter to you that Jesus died? Does it matter to you that Jesus died? Let's pray. Lord our God, we come today and we thank you for your presence with us this morning. And we pray that you'll continue to speak to us through the created world in which we live, through the consciences that you give to us, through the circumstances of life in which we have to read certain things, but especially through your word, the Bible. May we listen for you speaking to us. And as we speak, as you speak, may we respond in a positive way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.